see the drippy, I'm fitted up. Hop in my car and the giddy up. Secure the bag, yeah, I get the bus. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. You see the drippy, I'm fitted up. Hop in my car and the giddy up. Secure the bag, yeah, I get the bus. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. Ooh, I've been on the flex since flex on.
And what up? This is your host, Josh Mitchell. This is the Auto Disruptor Show. And this is a new thing that I'm going to try out called OTFB. And what I found on the Facebook. So I stole this idea from Andy Frisella. If anybody listens to him, it's amazing, amazing podcast. Highly, highly suggest that you check it out. But this is going to be a little bit. I'm going to take some articles, take some videos, some things that are going on in our industry, kind of give my perspective, give my opinion, which I'm pretty damn good at giving my opinion sometimes. Sometimes it gets me in trouble, but that's all right. I'm okay with that. But this is our first little episode on this. It's one of those things I want to talk about. This first person that I'm going to share, been a mentor, friend of mine since probably 2012, I think now. Coach Frank, when he gets going, Mr. Frank Lopes, when he gets going, he speaks some real truth, in what's going on in the industry and what's going on and how to maneuver through some different things, talk to managers, talk to salespeople. And so this was a really good one, kind of hit, home for me, and something that I definitely, want to give kind of my insight on this. And so we're going to get right into this with Frank on his take on some things.
Managers, let me ask you, how can you evaluate the performance of your department if you don't KTN, if you don't know the numbers? How do you know what team members are performing and which are slacking off if you don't KTN, if you don't know the numbers? How can you run your world at the dealership if you don't KTN, if you don't know the numbers? The answer, you can't. And you should stop thinking that you can, because friends, you're only fooling yourself. Matt.
Ooh, Frank. You know, it's one of those things, you know, when you're talking about knowing the numbers, that is huge in our industry, yet so many managers rely on other people to know what's going on, instead of everybody kind of going hand in hand with this. I spent a majority of my career in the automotive space in BDC internet world. And so when you are in that world, you better know your numbers, or you're going to fail miserably. And so being in that world taught me to know, you know, what leads are coming in, what, how many appointments we're setting, what percentages we're at on appointment set, show, and then all the way down to, you know, who shows up, who bought a car, who didn't buy a car. So all those numbers, who was in the showroom, all of those numbers were important. So when I had conversations with my team, individually and as a whole, I knew exactly what the hell I was talking about. When I went into a meeting, with, you know, the GM, GSMs, everybody, the owner in the company, when I was running a 5-rooftop, BDC, and I had all of the GMs in the room, I knew what the hell I was talking about. I knew my numbers. So when I was called out for whatever reason, I had my fair share of people who want to start pointing fingers. And I'm like, wait a minute, time out, because I know the numbers. And that is why it's so critical. Number one, not just because of that piece, but it is good that you know what the hell you're talking about when you're going into those meetings. But knowing where we are, where we're going, and how to fix these things, because you can't figure out the problem if you don't know your numbers. And you can't rely on just your internet manager, BDC. Like, guys, if you're in the sales management role, everything, like, you've got to traffic manage. And if you don't know where things are going and where they're coming from, then how in the hell are you going to predict what's going to happen during the day? Not that we can fully predict what's going on, but how can you know what's going on with your day if you don't know where the things are coming from? And so it is critical for us as we go into the new year. Like I think like sales managers, like it's time to nut up or shut up. Like you've got to elevate your game. This is no longer just a BDC or internet manager problem or a sales manager problem or a floor manager problem or GSM's problem. Like it's everybody's problem. We have to know where our leads are coming from. We have to know where our phone calls are coming from. We have to know where our showroom's coming from. We have to know everything that's going on inside of our store in order for it to become successful. We have to know individually with our salespeople, our internet people, our BDC, where they stand and where they're struggling. And you can't do that if you don't know the fucking numbers. It's that simple. And so quit blaming everything on everybody else and take some responsibility for what's going on inside of your store. And Frank is dead on this. You can't go into to a one-on-one with a salesperson if you don't know where the hell they are and what's going on in their world. And so you go in there blank and it's some bullshit one-on-one where you bark at them for 15, 20 minutes about some bullshit that you've one of your managers one time told you. And then you end it and there's no one motivated. There's no game plan. You made no phone calls. You made no emails. You made no text messages. You didn't help that salesperson at all. And so that's what happens when we go into one-on-ones. We don't know what the hell's going on. So stop. Time out. Don't do it. Like, know your shit. For the love of God, know your shit. This next one, Stellantis, I hope you can figure this out. This article made me laugh, and I got two articles from Automotive News that kind of go hand in hand on a certain aspect of our business that we've been, you know, every time when I hear something is going to be the next big thing, I always laugh because digital retailing was going to be the next big thing. I think we talked about that in probably 2017. It still hasn't taken off. In some aspects it has, but not the way that they discussed it. Video follow-up was something in 2010, 2011, 12, 13, 14. That was kind of the buzzword. And yes, it's critical, but you know, this article that Automotive News put out, yeah, Ram, I mean, I hate, if you're a Ram dealer, I hate that I'm hating on you. But in this article, Stellantis talks about the fact that they are going into hybrids. And I always thought that, you know, the hybrid world was probably going to be a little more of the transition towards going fully electric. But Stellantis is going to do this with their Ram 2025. God bless, they probably can't do it for 2500. Let's pump the brakes on that. Let's get the 1500 first. But their 2025 gas electric Ram Charger will be the first series of hybrid pickups and market it to their customers. Ram, you know, obviously there's some issues with the EVs, but this eliminates range anxiety because you can put gas in it. And I love that they put that, you know, refill of your fuel tank takes minutes like we're idiots. I laughed a little bit. But and then this is going to give 141 miles before the gasoline kicks in. Now, Stellantis, I hope I really feel that a lot of automotive manufacturers are probably feeling that they should have done more of the hybrid. I think Toyota, by all stretch of imagination, is probably a little more ahead of the game and ahead of the curve. Their hybrids are bar none. I mean, you can't compete when it comes to their hybrids. So I feel that it is the transition towards EV that we needed to do first. Let's master that. Like Chevy had a run with hybrids, I think in 2008 or 2009, with their Tahoe and maybe their pickup. There's none of them on the road, so they failed miserably at this. But I feel that this is probably a good stepping stone. I hope to God that Ram can do this. And right now, I mean, you look online and, you know, for the most part, Stellantis has like 10. I almost put 10 out of 10. Probably five of the 10 hardest selling new vehicles. So they're running into a little bit of an issue. They've got a massive amount of inventory out there, and they're doing $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 off of, you know, Gladiators, Wranglers, 1500 Rams. I mean, it's gotten out of hand on that side of things. It's like we're back to the horn out stage. But I hope that this is where we kind of lean more towards, because I feel that it goes right into this next article, which comes out of Automotive News again. I'm using them a lot just because they do a lot of stuff. So I'm not hating on them. Believe me, I'm not hating on them. I love those guys over there. But they are, you know, putting out some articles about some things. And this one, this is goes right where I'm going with this, is that Ford is cutting the F-150 Lightning production in half in 2024. Suppliers are told, you know, there's about 700 workers that are going to be affected by this. So I feel, you know, bad for the workers that are going to have to take some of the brunt of this hit. But we're pumping the brakes on the fact that, you know, that there's some issues with the EV side, which I think is something that we all knew was kind of coming to a certain degree. Anybody who has, I love EV. I love it. I don't drive one, but I love the concept of going to the EV. But I think they found that there's a lot of our consumers, number one, are not ready for it. They've proven. Now we have, you know, the Ford Lightning. There's a bunch of inventory on the ground. Can't move them. 10 grand off plus $7,500 tax credit, and they can't move them. GM, you know, had the, roll my eyes at this one, but the Hummer, which at one point was selling for 50 or 60 grand over sticker. Now, you know, they've pumped the brakes on their production on that. And God only knows when you're going to get another one of those, but we're seeing some issues with a lot of the manufacturers on actually getting EVs out. And then you're seeing the issues with consumers really wanting to adopt the fact of the EV. And then you understand that the infrastructure is not there. And I think for our government, I mean, you have to look at the fact that our infrastructure, if we're waiting on our government to figure out how to get the infrastructure right, where we have charging stations, where we need them, where we have a better quality of EV that's getting the mileage that it needs to be getting, to where customers, our consumers are actually going to lean more towards it, by all means. But the fact is we're not there. You look at Texas, that's where I'm at. I live near Austin, so pretty liberal area. And the EV charging stations are not where they need to be. You know, you go to Dallas, it's not where it needs to be. You go to Houston, not where it needs to be. Those are the three big major cities. Obviously, San Antonio, not where it needs to be. Plus, you have the fact that our power grid sucks. So we probably couldn't even handle if 50% of Texans went to EV and were charging at home. Oh my God, our infrastructure in our power grid would probably go haywire. And California is the same way. You know, they can't handle a hot day, and they're all of a sudden experiencing blackouts. And then you're going to tell people they can't charge their cars at home. And then what are they going to do? And so I think we've got to look at pumping the brakes on. I think they wanted it 2030 or 2035, something along those lines. Maybe it was 2025. I don't remember. I don't think it's going to happen. So I guess it's irrelevant because you already can see that manufacturers are pumping the brakes on this because it's not there and it's not ready. GM had the Chevy Bolt. It's been okay, but it had battery issues. They couldn't fix them. And we had Chevy Bolt sitting there for almost 6, 7, 8 months without a fix. You've got all kinds of issues with this. And so we're not there. I don't know when we'll get there, but we're not there. And so it's, I'm glad that I'm seeing now with like going back to the second article where they're going more towards that hybrid version, because I feel that's where you're going to need to go first to get consumers to adopt that. Then we can kind of move forward. Like, cause let me tell you, like the Chevy buyer, the Subaru buyer, the Ford buyer. They're not the Tesla buyer for the most part. And you can tell, hey, talk about Tesla all you want, done amazing things, but GM is not Tesla. Porsche is not Tesla. Audi is not Tesla. So it's okay to have some EV style or EV vehicles, but I'm telling you, to go for the next 5-10 years, it needs to go right into the hybrid area. And so I hope to God that a lot of these manufacturers are waking up to the fact that it's not going to happen the way they want it to, and consumers aren't adopting it as fast as they want them to. And we really get into getting a real solution for the issue, so to speak, of going towards this EV. So hybrid probably is the solution for now. So obviously I hope you like the show style. I'm going to pick out some different articles, get a little more raw, I'm sure. Maybe call people out. I'm not going to be mean, by all means. I'm not going to be mean. But if you have an article that you want me to talk about, if you have something you want me to talk about, by all means, reach out to me. I do this. I don't get paid for this. I do this for free. I do this in my free time. I do this because I want to help other people. I'm doing this because I want to give my opinion. So I hope you enjoy it. We'll be on the next OTFB on the Facebook. I'm sure I'll go other places, but right now, Facebook is such a great place to find the stuff. So hopefully you liked it. If you didn't, sorry. I'll try to do better next time. Have a great day.
The drippy, I'm fitted up. Hop in my car and it's giddy up. Secure the bag, yeah, I get the bus. Pick it up. You see the.